This is 91.7 FM, WHUS, Storrs, Connecticut. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It is July 19th, 2017. Welcome to Bicycle Talk. This week with my co-host, the most lovely, Fran Storch.
That's me.
That's her. A show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, you could call or text at 860-486-9487, or you can email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com, or you can even visit Bicycle Talk on Facebook. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. If you would like to contribute or be on the show as a guest, please contact me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. Okay, we're going to start the show off with lots of things to talk about today, but a couple of things in particular. And so we are going to start off with on the positive side, because we have to have something to counter the rant. So on a positive side, I have been talking to a number of people over the past week, and people who are really dedicated to doing these different rides, charity rides, either working on them or helping out in some way with them or riding on them. And so on the positive side, riders who dedicate their fitness and their energy to raising money for special interests that help people. Situations like cancer, leukemia, homeless shelters, food banks, and other charitable organizations that could use a helping hand, or as we like to call it in cycling, a good wheel, being a good wheel. So a shout out to those people that are actively involved in that. My friend Billy, who I know is possibly listening to the show right now, is really active in that area. He even runs training camps and gets people out on training rides and teaches them how to ride. Yes, Fran.
And also my friend John Kramers, who does the same thing for the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation.
Correct, correct.
New Jersey.
So, you know, these are folks that are really into cycling, but they're also really into helping people learn about, you know, how they're going to be able to anticipate the next ride that they're going to go on. And these people are great at going out and raising funds and helping out. It's just, so it's a real positive shout out to them. And, you know, a tip of the cycling cap to you, because I have a hard time doing it, but I do like to get involved in helping the organizations put on the rides, but I'm not as good about asking for the money. But anyway, so a tip of the cycling cap to them. Moving on, we must move on. Ron's rant of the week. Now, there are so many rants out there. Fran actually has a rant too, so we're going to, I think I'm just going to let Fran do her rant, because I have another one I have to table that I got over the weekend, because the one that I have today is going to be the basis of the show, so, or at least part of the basis of the show. But Fran, you had a rant for me.
So many rants.
So many rants.
My rant is about Oreos.
Oreos.
Yes.
Okay. Oreos, that's a little cookie that has a creamy center.
That's right.
And two wafers on the outside.
And it doesn't have to be an Oreo cookie. It could be a Hydrox, and it could be a Trader Joe's JoJo. It doesn't matter. Whatever your preference.
The idea is something is sandwiched in between two wafers.
Here's the idea. Don't be the creamy center. Okay?
Okay.
Please.
How is
don't
that?
Be the creamy center.
Okay.
I heard it here.
I think that that's great, but what in the world are you talking about?
Okay, so I'm a cyclist, right? I'm mm-hmm. riding along the roadside. I'm being respectful. And, you know, there's some thought as to whether, you know, the rule in Connecticut is that you get to be as far to the right as is safe for you as a cyclist. So that means if there's debris and stuff in the road, you can be a little to the left to get away from the debris, and that's mm-hmm. allowed, and that's legal.
Yes, it is.
Of course, a lot of cars don't necessarily know that.
They don't know bike law.
And a lot of cars come up behind you, and what they see is you're in my way. And
right.
that's the first thing they think, you're in my way.
Right.
So one of the things that you see, now we live on Bassett's Bridge Road, which is a busy road, unfortunately. It shouldn't be a busy road, but it is, because it connects Route 6. I'm going to get upset.
It connects
Route 6 and it
roads.
Connects
right.
195, and people use it as an access road, even though it is a lovely, swerving, turning country road that gives you access to the beautiful Mansfield Hollow State Park.
Right, it goes right through the middle of a state park.
That's yeah. right. It's an absolutely gorgeous road, and a lot of cyclists and runners and walkers like to use this road. but people use it as an access road. So one of the things that you see on this road and on many other roads is you'll be riding your bicycle and you'll be safely to the right as is possible.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be an oncoming car coming in the opposite direction, and someone else gets behind you and can't wait for that oncoming car to go.
We've talked about this one before.
So
many
it goes
times.
In between you, the cyclist. I'm the cookie on the right, and the oncoming car, which is the cookie on the left, and they become the creamy center.
I see.
So
okay.
If you're really unlucky and you become the cream and you're the creamy center, you could have a head-on collision. Then everybody will be pretty creamy.
Yeah,
so
it won't be a good thing.
Please don't do that. Wait the 2 seconds that it takes for the oncoming car to go by before passing the cyclist. Everyone will be a lot safer. And I've seen people run the oncoming car off the road.
Right. And if you look at your rule book here, your actual driver's rule book, what that person is doing by passing you on your bicycle and heading head on and forcing the other driver from the other direction, the other person in the car from in the other direction, to stop like that is illegal. They're doing something very bad. And
is it reckless?
Please, if you are a law enforcement officer and you see this, could you please pull them over and talk to them about it? Or at least give them a reckless endangerment or a, misuse of the highway or whatever. You know, but it's what they are doing by not waiting until the other car comes the other way is illegal. It's illegal. It's just, yeah. Well, would you do it for a farm tractor or a mail truck?
Right. No.
No. You'd wait.
Yes,
you'd
of course.
Wait.
If you were a vehicle, it's one of those
exactly.
things. If I were a car, you wouldn't have done that.
Because we're on bicycles, we are seen as, I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say it. We're seen as very vulnerable and easy to dispose of because they're not going to hurt their precious car by hitting the person on the bicycle.
Well, and there's a level of disrespect, too.
Oh, there's a huge level of
disrespect. And there's not this idea that, you know, this is a human being. This is a person on a bicycle.
Right.
And what you want to do is realize that that is a person. That person may be out for exercise. That person may be out. I mean, there's a judgment that you're riding a bicycle just for fun and you're not on your way to work. And they don't understand that people who ride their bicycles, they might have lost a lot of weight. They may be fighting type 2 diabetes. They might be fighting anxiety and depression. They may be on their short little bike ride before their 10-hour workday. Hello.
Yeah.
Which is what I see. And that happens to me when I'm doing my training rides in the morning
right.
because I am, in fact, squeezing in a training ride before I go to my very long workday. And people are
right.
judging you, thinking, oh, that person doesn't have to work. That's not what's going on at all.
No.
Especially
no.
if you see them during rush hour.
And remember, if you're driving a car or a truck and you're a person who is driving a car and a truck, that person who you see on the bicycle could be someone's mother, someone's father, someone's grandmother, grandfather, someone's aunt, someone's uncle, someone's brother, someone's sister. You know, we can go someone's daughter, someone's son. You have to understand that we're just people on bicycles. That's all we are. And we're not really, we're not out there to do this to annoy you. We're
exactly.
out there because we like to do this.
We got
really
into a conversation on Sunday on the Far Hills ride in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to an intersection and there was an older woman in a car who decided she was going to have a conversation about the fact that we should have been riding single file. She screamed single file at us when she went by us. And then when we got to the intersection, she decided she was going to tell us how we shouldn't be riding the way that we're riding.
So she knew all about bike law. And so she must have been a legislator or a law enforcement officer?
Well, what
or,
I don't know, what I didn't find out is
what
the laws are in New Jersey, if New Jersey allows you to ride 2 abreast when it's safe.
I think they're the same as they are up here.
I explained
to
her that when she's coming up behind us, her car is very quiet. We can't
mm-hmm.
hear her, that there's wind noise in our helmets, and we don't always know you're there. And if she would give a friendly toot, we would know there you were there. And she looked at me and said, I understand that, but... And we said, and we
well,
had to go because
then
it was safe to cross.
Why didn't you?
Right. She wanted to be right was what was
well,
going
I
on.
Well, I understand.
And I said, my friend started leaving. So I said, well, please do that next time. See ya. And I left, which wasn't the best way to leave
No, you know, you gotta take it in a different way. You know, you gotta, when I was having this conversation also yesterday when I was in the shop, we were talking about, you know, altercations with vehicles and, you know, the proper ways of dealing with it. And you really have to, you have to bring your A game when somebody comes at you like that. And you have to very talk to them very calmly. And you have to tell them, look, thank you very much for listening to me about, you know, bicycle laws and policies. Can I explain some of them to you? Do you have a moment of, can I take a moment of your time to explain this to you?
Yeah.
Because what you have to understand, and this is really simple, what you have to understand is, when did you get your driver's license? How old were you?
Right. How I was 18, yeah.
And not that you want to reveal it on the air, but how old are you now?
53.
Okay, you do want to reveal it on the air. So it was a couple of years ago, was it not?
Just a few.
And when was the last time you took a refresher course?
Yes. No, three.
Right, right.
Exactly.
Well, if you are a member of the AARP, they offer refresher courses that
but
you can take.
But it's not mandatory.
But it's not mandatory. But if you take that refresher course, they actually give you a reduction on your insurance.
Is that a fact?
So that is what's going on there. But it is not mandatory. It is not required. And it's funny because I talked to somebody who came from another country, and he was appalled by the idea that we did not have testing more often for driving vehicles, and that our eyes weren't tested.
Wow.
Think about that. When was the last time your eyes were tested before your driver's test? When you got your license.
Right.
That's it. So someone could be, you know, really visually impaired and be driving, and there's no concern for that here in the United States.
Right.
You know, there are some things, and not that I want to put a lot more restrictions on people driving vehicles, motor vehicles, but nor on myself driving a motor vehicle. But it would be nice to have a refresher course that was necessary after every 10 years.
Right.
You know, kind of a simple thing. So if the folks out there from Bike Walk Connecticut are listening today, how about some legislation put in place that requires a mandatory refresher course for learning the rules of the road, if nothing else. Now, of course, my other thing that I've been asking, shouting out over the airwaves about is that why not every state should be doing this? Every time you change a law in your state, like we, you know, changed that 3-foot law, and then 3-foot law then changed to as deemed properly safe by the cyclist, and also at that same time it was then said that what you want to do is, if you're passing someone, you cross that yellow line, it is no longer illegal for you, if a person driving a car or a truck, is no longer illegal for you to cross that yellow line. There's all these things, these little updates that we get in our laws, and just a slip of paper in the registration or the license renewal is all it takes. Doesn't take much. It doesn't cost anything. It's really inexpensive. And it would make a huge difference in awareness and knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, ignorance is curable.
Yeah.
Stupidity? Not so.
Yeah.
You know, but really, you know, ignorance is curable.
Right. You can learn stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. You can always learn stuff.
You can always learn stuff.
And so anyway, you know, don't be the Oreo. The creamy,
don't be the creamy
filling,
center.
The creamy filling, the creamy center.
No.
Right.
Unless you are actually a cookie or a whoopie pie, then you could be the creamy center.
So folks, stop taking chances with other people's lives,
right,
please.
Exactly.
Just please, don't do that. That's a good rant.
It was really interesting because I was in North Jersey and I saw so many cyclists. We passed so many groups of cyclists that day. There were so many people out. So those people up there, it's not like here. You don't see as many you see some here,
right. But
not like that. There were groups and groups of people on road bikes passed constantly up there. I mean, we were in Trumpland. We were in Bedminster. Well, we were near Bedminster. We were in like Far Hills, and we were in Mendham, and we were in...
Did you see anything orange riding a bike?
No. Well, Bedminster, we were... Far Hills is right next to Bedminster, so we were... But we didn't go to Bedminster. And we were in all these very wealthy towns up there with huge mansions.
That's why you see a lot of people on bikes.
Yeah.
Because they can afford to ride the fancy bikes. And, you know, it's kind of the culture. And they're taking care of themselves. And, you know, there is... in the U.S., we have a very interesting, and I don't know exactly how this demographic works out. Someone out there knows about it can call us. That'd be great. But the culture that we have here in the U.S. is that if you have a lot of money, then you have a nice bike and you have more of a tendency to ride a bike. And yet, if you don't have a lot of money, you
have a
tendency to ride a bike, but not as much so. You'd rather have an old beat up car. I mean, it's the culture. We live in car culture. So, you know, we could have a lot more people on bicycles if bicycling was laid out better, if our infrastructure was built better, which brings me to my next rant. Are you ready for my next rant?
Well, wait a minute. What about what Carla said about Italy?
What does that have to do with the rant here?
I don't know.
Okay. Let's move on that one. We'll go back to Carla later.
Okay, fine.
Okay. So this is the one that really caught my attention, and my rant is State of Oregon.
Aww.
Are you listening? I have contacted them. We tried to put a dialogue together, and I was going to try to have someone on the air today, but unfortunately we just have not connected, but we'll work on this one.
Yeah,
well,
Oregon.
Your sweet Oregon is brain dead right now.
Oh,
brain dead.
It's not Oregon. It's some legislators in Oregon. Oregon is still Oregon. I'm sure there are a lot of very angry people in Oregon right now.
There are a lot of angry people in Oregon that ride bicycles.
Right.
Because here's the deal. They were talking about this for a long time, and I was, you know, I've been following it all along. Well, it passed. It went through. There was a discussion as to whether it should be a sales tax percentage-wise on the sale of bicycles over $200 or whether it should be a flat tax, and they decided on a flat tax. So the state of Oregon, which doesn't have sales tax on hardly anything at all that I know of out there, they've been tax-free, the state of Oregon and the state of New Hampshire are both in that state. So they have decided that they, in order to meet their transportation budget and their needs, that they are going to put a $15 flat tax on all bicycles with 26-inch wheels or greater over $200. So that just is, I can't even begin to understand what they were thinking of when they went there. I have so many answers on this. I have so many things to talk about here. The Portland Bureau of Transportation boasts that 7.2% of the city's commuters, this is just in Portland, okay, do so by bicycle. That's a lot of commuters. So what does that mean? It means that all of a sudden they've got infrastructure issues because they have all these people on bicycles and the roads are getting congested. And they decided that instead of making the cars or the people who drive cars and trucks pay for it, they're going to let the bicycles pay for it, which is absurd beyond belief. Now, there are some other bits and pieces in the transportation budget that are pointed towards, you know, other types of ways of taxing people. But this one stuck out like a sore thumb because let's take a quick look at this. If you're someone who is buying a bicycle of any reasonable quality, okay, you're going to be paying over $200 for that bicycle, right?
Of course.
Right. If you're going to your local Walmart or Kmart or whatever marts are left these days, that's hard to say. If you're going to go there, yes, you could conceivably get a bicycle that was
less than
$200, correct? Mm-hmm. Now, that bicycle would have to get thrown out in a year, but we won't get into that. That's another story for another rant for another day. But anyway, so if you don't have a lot of money and you wanted to go out and buy a new bike because you wanted something dependable that you could ride back and forth to work with or do the grocery store or whatever it is, then you might conceivably buy a bike that costs over $200. And if you buy that bike and it costs over $200 and it has a 24-inch wheel on it, you will not have to pay the $15 tax on it. But if it has a 26-inch wheel or above, you will have to pay a $15 tax on it. So they're taxing not just bicycles, but they're taxing adult riders on bicycles. They're taxing people that are big enough to ride on a wheel that's 26 inch in diameter or bigger. So they're specifically going after bicycle commuters.
Yeah.
I mean, really, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? So I did a little math. I just kind of played around a little bit. And I thought about all of the behemoth vehicles that are sold in the United States. And just to get a rough idea on that, I think I have some stats sitting here. So U.S. auto sales, and this was in 2015, hit a record high of 17.47 million in the United States. And now bicycles are pretty come up and coming. In 2015, the bicycles sold in millions of 20 inch wheel and above sizes. It just has it all classified as 12.5 million. So not as many as cars and trucks, but still, you know, a substantial amount of bicycles were sold. Still, once again, why are we taxing the automobile, the bicycles, and not taxing the automobiles? If I take a 5,000-pound behemoth, which I will label Ford F-Series because they seem to make more of them than anyone else in this country by their stats, if I take that vehicle and it weighs 5,000 pounds, and that is classified as a light truck, by the way. Anything under 5,000 pounds, under 6,000 pounds is considered a light truck. And If I take that vehicle, also those vehicles have covers on the back and they call them SUVs. So we're talking about that whole category there too. Very, very heavy vehicle. Heavy vehicle, wear and tear on the highway, wear and tear on the infrastructure. Lots of repaving, lots of potholes, lots of fixing the damage that a vehicle like that causes. Then I take me at 142 pounds. Riding on a 20-pound or less bicycle. How much more damage am I doing on that bicycle? Does it warrant a $15 tax because of it? I don't think so. Why aren't we taxing the big behemoth vehicles? So here's my proposal back at you, Oregon, and I did send this out to them for them to review and think about. Why not on every new vehicle, motorized vehicle, that is sold that weighs 5,000 pounds or more, since it does so much damage to our roads, why don't we put a $500 tax onto that vehicle? Okay? Yeah, sure, people are going to object. But if you take that $500 and you amortize it over a five-year automobile loan, it's $8 a month. So $8 a month is what you would be paying to be able to help rebuild the infrastructure, which would also give cyclists a safer place to ride their bikes. You would be possibly less annoyed by the fact that the cyclists wouldn't be in your way anymore because they would have their own lane to ride in. And doesn't this make a whole lot more sense than to tax the bicycle? How many bicycles are you going to sell in the state of Oregon and be able to charge the $15 on? And how much money is it going to take for the paperwork of processing that, collecting the money at the bike shop, okay, then filing the records with the state of Oregon? Someone at the state level has to then process all that, make sure it's all happening, figure out a way to push the funds around. If you're getting $3 off of that, then you're doing great. I would say they're making literally nothing off of this tax, other than someone is getting satisfied somewhere, because I'll show those bike people what this is all about. I'm not feeling happy about this, and this is why I'm ranting about this today. $15? Really? Really? $500 on your truck. Let's hear it. $500 on your truck, $500 on your car that looks like a truck, or your truck that looks like a car, whatever you want to call the fool thing. They call them SUVs. My son used to call them stupid, useless vehicles. I like that. It was very good. But anyway, come on, people, wake up. The people, the damage that's being done to our infrastructure, the places where we need to have the repair, is done by automobiles and trucks. It is done by cars and trucks. That's who's doing this. Not bicycles. Give us a break. I would love to see a city like Portland become Amsterdam. And then you would never be able to drive your car there anymore because there would be so many bicycles in your way that there would be no place for the cars or the trucks. What a nice idea that would be. You know, it's just, this is so, so ridiculous. Hard to believe that they're even considering this. And this is Portland. This is Oregon. This is one of the most liberal states in the country, especially when it comes to bicycles and bicycle growth. Their growth is very, very high. They're doing really well. So anyway, there's a few quotes in here. I think I have a quote. Yeah. Okay. So this is from Chris DeStefano, who is the owner of River City Bicycles in Portland. And he is, River City Bicycles is a large number of bicycle shops. There's a whole bunch of them there. So anyway, he says, this is quote unquote, this tax still feels punitive in the fact that it unfairly burdens it puts the burden of this tax on small business, okay, as the owner of a bicycle shop. He said, why would we cut off that revenue source and potential 75% of the revenue source would be bikes sold through these stores? So what he is feeling is that what's going to happen is he's going to lose bike sales off of this. So, and all of the retailers that I have had any kind of interactions with out there or someone who knows someone, they're all very concerned. They're going to lose maybe 15 or 20% of their bike sales over this deal. And they're creatively trying to figure out ways to take care of it. Another retailer was quoted as saying, you know, maybe we're just going to suck up the $15 charge and we'll just, you know, we'll eat it. We'll eat it. And because we don't want to charge it to our customers because we don't think it's right.
Right.
So, but why should they have to do that? Why should they have to do that? That doesn't make any sense. You know, this is just such a ridiculous thing. Why are they even thinking about this? They want to, and I understand the good side of it is they're going to put a lot of money towards the cycling infrastructure in Portland, which is going to be very, very nice. And obviously statewide, I'm sure Salem has something to do with this. I'm sure Eugene is going to benefit from this. But the point is that at $15 a whack, it's going to take them 150 years to solve the problem.
Right.
Whereas at $500 a whack and more vehicles that are motorized being sold than vehicles that are pedaled, they could make that money up in, you know, 10 years.
Yeah.
Right. What are they thinking? Why do these people get elected?
I don't know.
Let's take a good look at this, because you know what? If you're a bicycle person and you're in Oregon and you happen to hear this or you're listening, please call me, comment, whatever you want to do. It's bicycletalk1@gmail.com. I am loving to hear your response on this. If you think I'm an absolute idiot for bringing this up, tell me about it. I want to hear it. I open discussion on this. Because,
or you can call us right now because we are live at 860-486-9487. That's 860-486-9487. I am standing by.
Yes, yes. So if you have a comment that you need to make on this, please comment. Because to me, all I see is absurdity. It makes no sense whatsoever. You're just not paying attention to the big picture here. And the big picture is that this $15 is a joke. It's an absolute joke. It's a joke that you should apply it to the bike, first of all. And it's yet another joke that you should think that $15 is going to go wholly towards building your infrastructure. That money is going to get eaten up and broken down into so many different directions that, like I said, if there's $3 left at the end, that I would be really, really surprised. And how many bikes are we talking about here? Not as many as we would have cars. There's so many better places to get revenue source from than to tax the people, and especially the people who can't afford to drive a car. So if you're an entrepreneur and you are out there and you are listening to any of this and you would like to make a lot of money in a very short period of time and you're looking for a great opportunity, start buying up every used bicycle you can get your hands on, put them in a truck and drive them to Oregon, because they aren't taxing used bikes.
Right. That's yes. Right. It's only on new bicycles.
And then Here's the other little catch to this. There's always loopholes. The loopholes are complete bicycles. So you could buy a frame and build it and not get text.
Oh, my.
So now that's a lot of bother to go through, and it's certainly going to cost you more than the $15 to build a bike piece by piece. But we're talking principle here, and you know, whether you want to go there or not, that's certainly up to you. But there are some serious ways of dealing with this. So anyway, it's just, the whole thing just seems silly. It's going to start next year. Bicycles with wheels 26 inches in diameter, retail price $200 or more, flat rate tax, on and on and on. Here's my fear. My fear is that we get someone in our state or in other states, and they start looking at this, like our good friends in Montana.
It's a precedent.
Must be paying real close attention to this one. Senator Sayles, I'm sure he is paying attention to this because he hates bicycles. But anyway, you know, it's a precedent. You're right. You're right. It makes no sense at all. And it's only going to start causing more and more of a problem. So we, you know, or so there's a note here. This is off of another website, and it says here that funds that go, they have a program called Connect Oregon Program. They're going to be set, their funds are set aside specifically for the purposes of grants for bicycles and pedestrian transportation projects that expand and improve bicycle commuter routes for non-motorized vehicles, pedestrians, including bicycle trails, footpaths, and multi-use trails. So this is where the funds are going. This is where they say the funds are going. But I'm telling you, there is a paperwork processing that is going to eat a lot of that money up. The tax will be collected by bicycle retailers, and they will be required to file quarterly returns with the Department of Revenue Services. Bicycle retailers are required to keep the receipts and records pertaining to the collection of the tax for a minimum of 5 years. The tax will go into effect 91 days after the legislative session ends, which is that would be October 8th. And so it's going to start the first of next year. So there you have it. They're taxing the healthiest, most inexpensive, most environmentally friendly, most efficient, most economically sustainable form of transportation ever devised by a human species. And they're going to tax it. So I'm feeling like a libertarian stir here. I don't know what it is, but it's, how can you do this? How could you possibly do this? There's no sense in it whatsoever. So anyway, Oregon's ranking as a bike-friendly state has slipped in recent years, in part because we have a law that mandates the use of a side path if no bike lane is present. So I wonder what the League of American Bicyclists will do to our ranking when they hear about this. So if there is no bike lane present, they want you to use a sidewalk versus the road. Once again, why is it that the roads belong to cars and trucks? Why is that? If you say, well, they buy the gasoline, so they pay the gas taxes, and they pay the federal gas tax, and they pay all this tax on that. Well, that's all well and good, but that's not where your road funding comes from. It comes from your federal income tax. That's been proven in the past. Yes, the gas tax helps, but it is not the primary source of road funding and infrastructure build in the United States. It comes from your federal taxes. Oh, boy. Anyway, makes my blood boil. Another comment here. The only way to like this tax is to think that, one, it will quell the anger from people who think those bicycles don't pay their fair share. Okay, we've heard that. Or, number two, if you think the money it raises for infrastructure outweighs the potential disincentive to new bike buyers, the erosion of profits from bike retailers, and the absurdity of it on principle alone. So, anyway, this was written by a person which I contacted and I was hoping to have on the show today. His name is Jonathan Moss, and he is very connected to Bike Portland. So, and he blogs and does other basic things here too. But I just don't understand what they were thinking of and how they could possibly have gone there. There's another piece online that says, Liberals versus Liberals, Oregon's bike tax isn't going over well among riders. Surprise. So it's part of a $5.3 billion transportation package. And the state's legislator passed the first bike tax in the nation. And this is where I'm worried. I'm worried about this because people are watching this very, very carefully. So it certainly is a problem. You know, the other thing you could do is you could sell a bicycle and you could put 20-inch wheels on it. And then when the person then decides that they want the real wheels on it, you could take the 20-inch wheels off and charge them $1 and exchange the wheels back. And then you would get around it, too. There's lots of ways you can get around this if you want to go through the bother of getting around it. But it just seems like such a silly thing to be paying attention to at this point. Anyway, this has been signed. I heard that it had been signed. So this is the supporters note that there is no sales tax in Oregon. Okay. And so it's not as though riders will be hit twice at the register. Other proponents of the tax argue bikers aren't paying their fair share. First problem, they call them bikers. We're cyclists. I'm going to be a snob about that. Democratic State Representative Earl Blumenauer defended the tax on bikes, for example, telling Bike Portland that it is a modest fee, quote unquote, in the overall infrastructure package.
That's the problem. We love Blumenauer, but he's in favor of this tax.
But he's not thinking with his he doesn't have his helmet on tight. Oh, we have someone on the line. Is there someone on the line who wants to talk to me about this?
Yes, this would be Bruce from Lebanon.
Hello, Bruce from Lebanon.
Ron, stop. Yeah.
Right here?
Stop making me call you.
Ah!
Who's making you call?
You are, with all of these provocative topics.
Good. Excellent.
Listen, I don't know if I'm going to be getting feedback echoing from my own voice, so...
We're having a little communication problem here with our phones today, too. So don't worry about it too much. We'll just deal with it as much as we can.
Yeah, there's a couple things about this that I thought I would throw into the mix. The first one is if I owned a local bike shop, what I would be doing... Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm getting real bad echo. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you just fine, actually. It's something wrong with our phone system here. So if you can keep talking, we're good. We're pulling you in. You're just a little scratchy, that's all.
Keeping talking has never been one of my problems.
I know that.
I know you do. But what I was going to say is if I owned a local bike shop and you came in and you said, oh, I want this Trek whatever, I'd say to you, okay, here you go. Here's your Trek. Without wheels.
Right.
And then I would sell you the wheels for like, you know, $5 and we'd put them together and I would date those two receipts on two different days.
And that is one of the ways around it. And that has been discussed, actually. I saw a piece on that where people were talking about, you know, how do we get around this thing? What can we do? And there's definitely people talking about that. It's kind of a in spite of kind of thing, but whatever.
Now here's the other thing, Ron. When the state decides to do transportation upgrades or maintenance or whatever they're going to do, they usually get funding from the federal government, DOT.
Right.
And a lot of that is designated for certain activities. So if you want more money to be designated to cycling in however you want to use that money, you're going to have to do two things. One is you're going to have to get more money in general from the federal government, or you're going to have to reapportion so somebody in the whole transportation system gets a little less money.
Right.
Now, to me, it would make sense, you know, to do either of those things to help, especially with a state where cycling is so important and so useful. But now what you're coming up against the politicians who are funded by the established business interests, including the people who build roads, the people who build transportation infrastructure, and that's always going to be a battle. And so that's the kind of thing you're up against.
Well, I'm wondering who's going to be the first one to sue the state of Oregon for doing this, because it is, you're going against federal dollars here. And is it legal? And that would be...
What do you mean by going...
Well, if...
What do you mean by going against it?
Well, what you're doing is you're taxing the bikes within your organization, but the monies, as you just said, come from federal money. I mean, if you're going to build a, even the Rails to Trails, 80% of the Rail to Trails money comes from federal dollars, and then the other 20% comes from local dollars. So if you're now throwing a tax on top of that, are you now gambling with whether or not the federal government will give you dollars in the future?
No, that's I don't believe that's the way it's going to work. I think you can always tax to enhance your transportation problems, but I don't think that this is so embedded in the system that the U.S. representatives and senators are there at the federal level to make sure that you do get those monies. And it's just so ingrained in the system. I don't think you're gambling with getting less money.
Right, right. I see. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It's just, but if you take a look at this, I mean, the monies that they're talking about bringing into Oregon to do this from this quote unquote tax on the bicycles, they're talking about using it to, build more of their infrastructure, which is a good thing for, more bike paths, bike lanes, all that. Well, 50% of those lanes are used by pedestrians. So are we now going to start charging tax on any athletic shoes that are sold over a certain number of dollars? Obviously they're using it. They're obviously must be damaging it because, that's what this is all about.
It's
right?
Just amazing to me that you would put a tax on something that you can purchase that improves your health as a naturopathic physician. We had a tax a few years ago in the state of Connecticut on supplements and yoga classes.
I remember that.
And we were so upset about that. And you know what? After a year and a half, they did away with it.
Yeah.
And because you don't want to tax health things that people pay for to help their health. Because when you help your when you spend money to help your health, you help the whole healthcare system. And this is another thing. I mean, this is a state where you promote a lot of health. There's a naturopathic college there. They have beautiful wilderness. They have beautiful produce there. So they're a health-minded state, and they're putting a tax on something that people can purchase to improve their health. Cars are not in the same category.
You of all people should know that our whole healthcare system is aligned to deal with responses to illness and not to wellness in general.
I am well aware of this, my dear. I know.
Yeah.
Do you see the gray hairs in my head?
I'm preaching to the choir.
Oh, yeah, you certainly are.
Why do you think the federal government would fund anything else on any other subject? They fund where the money is. They fund the corporations. They fund the established whatever entities.
Gah!
Right. And why aren't the insurance companies that are supposedly more interested in not having to pay for health care costs to you, why aren't they funding gym memberships and bicycle sales?
Right. Gym memberships.
And running shoes.
Because they make money off of those things.
Right. Exactly.
They're making money. If you're healthy, they're not going to make any money off of you.
Yeah,
no, but they would make... See, this is what I talked about. Like, I always say this. If people would come to see naturopathic physicians all the time, and because when people listen to what I say, they get better. They get well,
right.
And then they don't need me for a while. But so... And you say, well, you practice yourself out of a job. But that's not actually... First of all... There's so many people who are not healthy. I still have plenty of business. That's number one.
You'll
but number
never have
two
to worry
is,
about that in this country.
What happens is if people get healthy, then the industries would be diverted because there would be a lot more industry around keeping healthy. There would be more industry around, like we talked about Carter Bartolucci with the great culinary getaways.
Right.
There would be more industry around health and fitness. There would be a bike shop on every corner. There'd be a gym on every corner. There would be any 7 days a week, you'd be able to go out in community and walk with people or go for a bike ride with people. There would be dances, you know, every Saturday and Sunday night. There would be places you could go dancing. The industry would be different. That's all. It would just be, instead of being based on what you said, Bruce, around, you know, responses to grave illness, it would be promoting health.
Case in point, the tobacco industry has grown ever since the restrictions have been thrown into the U.S. here, and less people are smoking cigarettes in the U.S. The tobacco industry has just gotten larger. So they found a different customer, basically, is what they did. But the point being that, you know, it didn't do all the damage they thought it was going to do.
Right. They're it still would just go in a different direction.
Lots of people. It just goes in a different direction. That's all.
Yeah, but you'd put the fast food industry out of business.
But the fast food industry is still responding. The fast food industry is actually responding to the interest in health and fitness.
They are.
Because if you look at, for example, McDonald's menu, they're coming up with like artisanal sandwiches, more salads, more healthy options. They're actually responding because you're right. The fast food industry is hurting and they're actually responding to it because they have to or else they're going to go out of business.
Well, you know, it takes advocates like you and other people across the country to make this happen. But as somebody once said, trying to get this thing to turn around is like trying to get an ocean liner to turn around. It's not going to happen quickly.
That's right.
But we still have to keep trying. We still have to keep doing those things. And the only way that's going to happen, I think, is if people finally understand that it's in their interest to become active, to speak out, to vote for people, you know, all of that stuff. And that's really not easy. It's hard to get people to think that way.
Right.
So that's kind of the burden we all have. So.
Yeah, well, we've set ourselves up on that, unfortunately. But that's,
yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah.
I think that's true. So anyway, all right, I'll leave you guys alone, and thank you very much.
Well, thank you for calling in.
Sure.
See you at the Sunflowers.
Yeah, see you at the Sunflowers.
Yes,
and it's a big day in the Tour de France today, so we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, and don't forget, Bauke Mollema.
Yeah.
Bauke Mollema.
That was funny. I'll tell you about it later.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
It is.
See you
it
guys
is.
Later.
All right, take care. So, thanks for calling, Bruce.
All right, see you, Bruce.
Bye.
So, you know, we look at this and the absurdity of it, and, you know, there have been all sorts of comments, people making a lot of comments about it. Things like, since most of the damage to transportation infrastructure is weight, somebody writes, $15 for a bike should be translated into $600 for a Harley, $2,000 for a smart car, $5,600 for a GMC, Yukon, etc. I doubt that Yukon pays that much in gas tax. So, you know, there's some comparisons there, which, you know, if you want to talk about our fair share, which is what this tax is being touted as, is letting cyclists pay their fair share. That's what the proponents of it are. Well, then let's be fair. Let's be fair straight across the line. Let's be fair all around. And you know, do it that way. But this is just completely out of hand. I can't believe the state of Oregon is doing this. The state of Oregon has been so bike positive for so many years, and then they basically just shot themselves in the foot. And it makes no sense whatsoever to me. So I'm it's my big rant right now. And if anybody has any more that they can include to this, I would love to hear more about it. We may bring it up on a future episode. I am going to move off of this right now, and I'm going to go over to another thing that is going on, which is extremely exciting right now, and that is the Tour de France. And the Tour de France is we are deep into the tour. We're at stage 18 today. The preview on it is unbelievable. Don't call me and tell me what happened. I do not want to know. I will see it this evening. I have a friend coming over tonight to watch the tour with me. But today is the day of the Gablier and the Telegraph, and they're two like iconic mountains in the Tour de France. And the beauty of the tour right now, the real beauty of the tour, is that currently, as you know, there is, I'll go through the first four riders. Christopher Froome is from Team Sky, is number one. And right behind him is Fabio Aru, who is 18 seconds behind him. We're almost done with this tour. It's stage 18. Aru. Romain Bardet from France, who's riding one heck of a tour. He's riding for AG2R, a French team. He is 23 seconds behind Chris Froome.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And
They love that?
The French are going crazy right now.
Yes.
They have won six stages this year. It's like the French are on fire right now. They got their tour back.
That's nice.
And then in fourth place, Rigoberto Urán from Colombia is 29 seconds behind.
Wow.
What is the beauty of all this?
Very close.
These guys can all climb.
It's anybody's
and
race.
And we got two more days.
Whoa.
And today is a big one.
That's
it's a
hot.
Real big one. So
it's
today,
happening right now.
Yes, it is happening
it
right now.
It may have already happened.
And then if you jump all the way down to fifth, the fifth place rider, who is Mikel Landa from Spain, and he rides for Team Sky also, he is a minute and 17 seconds down. So it's like, it's crazy how close this tour is. It's
right.
Like the Tour of Italy was. We have someone online?
No, just a gentleman with a question.
Sure.
And it's Joe from Stafford, and he wanted to know if this bicycle, because there's going to be a bicycle tax, does this now mean, like, the liquor stores, are you only going to be able to buy bicycles in bicycle shops now because it's taxed, or will you still be able to buy bicycles at, like, you know, your EMS, your REI, your
Oh, you can buy
Walmart.
Them anywhere. Any retailer that sells a bicycle is going to be over this, and this is obvious, this is not here, folks. It's not here in Connecticut.
It's in Oregon.
This is in Oregon.
Yes.
But we hope to never see it here. And if we do see anything coming in that direction, you're going to see Pedlin Ron living in Hartford to make sure that this doesn't happen. Because I will not allow this type of ridiculous nature happen in my state.
I will be nearly.
Yeah. So anyway, it's just really hard to believe. It's hard to believe that it's hard to conceive that anyone would think this way. So, anyway, the Tour de France.
So they're not going to do that thing. They're not going to, like, as far as we know, they're not going to, like, only have bicycles for sale in bicycle shops. They'll still be selling.
Oh,
them.
No. Okay. Not at all. Not at all. No, bicycles can be sold anywhere. I mean, Walmart can sell you a bike for over $200.
Yeah.
You know, they have them.
Yes.
So you can get the bikes anywhere. That's not a problem. It's just that if that bike is sold and it is sold for over $200, you're going to have to tax it. That's the way that the state of Oregon has set it up. So it doesn't matter where you buy it from, you're still going to have to pay the tax.
Right.
And then we haven't even discussed what happens if you decided to buy the bike by way of not a retailer, but someone online.
Oh, my.
And I don't know how, well, obviously, all the states can't monitor that and state
sales
tax.
That if you're sitting in Oregon buying a bicycle from another state
and you
or
go
country,
over to Washington State,
right.
Just cross the line,
you know,
which, you know, is pretty close by to Portland.
Oh, that's another thing. That's right, because Washington State really is.
Well, people do it in New Hampshire.
Of course.
They do it in New Hampshire. People that live in Massachusetts go and buy a lot of goods in New Hampshire. That's why if you look at the whole southern part of New Hampshire, it's just filled with retail establishments.
A whole bunch of bike shops are going to open up in Vancouver, Washington.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
That's exactly right. So, you know, there's always loopholes.
It's going to be some backlash.
And it's just the idea of it is so ridiculous that, you know, someone should take someone and pop them on the side of the head with a fully inflated tire.
Okay.
So that's about as kind as I can be about that.
Alrighty.
Anyway, moving forward. You know, that pretty much covers us. We're coming to the end of the show here. Keep your eyes on the Tour de France. We're almost there. Yes, they are going to be ripping around the Champs-Élysées on Sunday, and that will be the final day of the race. There is a time trial that is happening, a 24-kilometer time trial. So we're talking 13 miles, roughly, something like that. that is going to happen in 2 days. That could be the deciding point of the Tour de France. That could be the deciding point of the yellow jersey. And one other thing I forgot to mention is very quickly, heartbreaking news. Marcel Kittel, who had pretty much controlled and owned the green jersey, the sprinter, he pulled out of the Tour with a bad crash on stage 17. So Marcel Kittel is out. He's out. He's out. So
no more sprinting.
So Michael Matthews is now taking the green jersey.
Wow.
So, but really sad thing happened because Marcel was having the Tour of his life. He was really looking good. Seemed really happy with what was going on. It was his first chance to really do well, and it's all gone. So this has been a very interesting Tour de France. But moving forward, a couple of quick notes here. TCC Century, Thread City Cyclers, Saturday, June 29th, 2017. Steeplechase Bike Tour, Saturday, August 19th, 2017. And the new Ashford Metric Gravel Grinder from Nearak Earth on September 16th, 2017. No more time for details. My name is Pedlin Ron. You have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch. A show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you would like to send us an email, you can send it to me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com, and I will respond back. If you have anything you'd like to contribute to the show, please send to that same email, bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. This is Pedlin Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS, Storrs.